Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Recording. Ready to go live in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast. I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. This week, we're podcasting on-site at Slate Restaurant in Orlando, Florida, with my dear friend, Chef Kevin Ho. Today's topic is how important it is to keep a clean restaurant. There are so many awful angles to keep track of. Look, I've literally been in thousands of kitchens over the course of my career. I've seen things. Horrible things. It makes me appreciate eateries like Slate. Okay, let's dig in. But first, our sponsor this session, attention, all chefs. Are you looking to improve your proteins program with quality and service by the best in the beef business? Reach out to Peninsula Food Service. With 25 butchers on staff, their services will dazzle you and impress your dining guests. Yes, that's right. Peninsula is the largest Creekstone distributor in the Southeast United States. Let the gang at Peninsula Food Service cut your beef burdens away. Ask about their dry-aged program. Look them up, peninsulafood.com. All right, our first panelist needs no introduction. You may know him as the Red Meat Stallone, the Balbusta Yid, and of course, the Sefner City Madman. Let's welcome to the panel, Walk and Talk culinary contributor, Chef Jeffrey Schlissel.
Wow, just wow.
Schlissel.
Thanks.
All right, Chef, we've come a long way on cleaning SOPs, right? Yep. I mean, scale of 1 to 10, like how important is staying ahead of the cleaning side work?
20.
20. Love yeah. that. So, all right, you know what? Let's get our first guest in. We've all heard it's, you know, there's time to lean, there's time to clean. Chef Kevin Hull, welcome to the program. Are we still using the slogan? Is this still the deal? Talk to me.
This is still the deal. You know, maintaining your environment is super important. However, a lot of more corporate kitchens that I've seen, like for instance, like the Outbacks and, you know, the kind of cookie cutter restaurants, you know what I mean? They will have more separate cleaning. You know what I mean? Like there's time to maintain your station. And I've seen a lot of places, you know, kind of just not quite sweep it onto the floor, but maintain their environment separately. That's not a practice that we have here at all.
With like a cleaning crew that comes in at night.
Exactly.
So you're detached from it with your own personnel.
Or you have, you know, your quote unquote cleaning team, like your dish team. They would have a different title, of course, because they're not just dishwashers. But, you know, you'd have them come and do like line sweeps and stuff like that. Whereas in an environment like this, everything is definitely maintained by the individual, from the floor to the equipment to the station to
and just
everything.
So for a foodie who just goes out to enjoy, you know, dinner, lunch, whatever, should they expect that like throughout the shift there is ongoing cleaning? Is there not?
Yes. Throughout the shift, there's ongoing cleaning.
There better be.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, I go out and eat a lot. And I can tell you that sometimes, you know, your server disappears for a while and you can kind of, you know, daydream about where they are and what they're doing.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I don't see them doing any sign work. You know, sometimes you do. But for the most part, man, no. I mean, you're sitting there waiting around.
So, for instance, like one of the little details that we practice here is folding your towels. You know, and the whole concept behind that is if you put enough attention to detail into the small tasks, you'll put the same or more attention to detail into larger tasks. So it starts with your towel. It's always folded, always on the side of your station. And that way everything is a little bit more square and organized. You know what I mean? So you always have somewhere to reach to. You know, it's muscle memory at this point. So you have your folded towel and you have your side towel. Your towel on your station is for cleaning your station. And then your side towel is for holding your pots and pans or doing whatever else you need to do. You know, so it's constant, you know what I mean? Like, it's not just about time to lean, time to clean. You should be consistently maintaining your environment. You know, anytime you walk around, you should, you know, if you see something falling over, pick it up. If there's a glove on the floor, pick it up. You know, one of the things that I tell not just my cooks but also the servers is like, don't just treat this like your house. I don't know how you guys live. Treat this like my house. You know, and I'm very clean with my house, so make sure that when you're just walking over litter, like, you don't just leave it there. You know, you pick it up, because we're all responsible for this place.
Jeff, do we need to have SOPs for something like that? Or is it just something like we have to like lean on the people you hire?
I think you definitely have to have SOPs definitely set apart for cleaning, and you have to have not only daily, weekly, you also have to have monthly and yearly, because there's those things too. We were talking about it earlier. If anybody out there has a friend that's not in the industry and you go out with somebody who is in the industry, like myself or Chef, we see things that most common people don't. Like, we look at speakers, and if it's dusty, we're like, oh, and then we go from there. And then there's that old, you know, proverb for us in the restaurant industry: if the restroom's clean, then the kitchen's clean. No, because what happened is the restaurateurs got hip to it, so they make sure the restroom's clean, but their kitchen might not be.
Yeah.
And the reason why we have to be clean is there are so many laws in the book for us. There's actually a law in the book on how to sneeze. We have to actually sneeze in that where you bend
elbow.
Your elbow right
in the crook of the arm.
In the crook of the arm. That's how we have to sneeze. Then you have to wash your hands afterwards. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to. You touch your hair, it's law. You have to wash your hands. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are so many components. And let me tell you, when the health inspector comes in, oh, dear Lord, if they see that, that's like an instant write-up. It's not going to get you closed down, but it's an infraction. And what you were talking about earlier, Chef, about the big guys that have that separate one, the separate cleaning crew.
Yeah.
What happens with your staff is like, they don't care.
Right.
I don't have to do that. Let me just throw it on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. If they have to clean up at the end of the night, guess what? They want to get out.
And you keep your station clean
ongoing. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
It breeds a different culture. You know what I mean?
Things are different today than when I was in the business. Because now, even like your servers, they have to get their, you know, their cards, right?
Mm-hmm. ServSafe. Everyone has to be ServSafe certified.
Yeah, like, we didn't have any of that. But, you know, at the end of the day, I grew up in a house where my mother would, you know, beat the crap out of me if the house wasn't clean. So I took that into work with me.
Of course.
Right? So
was your mom related to mine? Because I used to get hanger. You get a hanger or the wooden spoon?
Oh, man. I got the spoon, the hanger, the Italian cinquetta. Right?
Cinquetta. So, ah, okay. Yeah, I got that one.
Yeah, I got that. My grandmother was actually... My grandmother can take her shoe off, slipper, and hit and get you from about 15 yards away.
Better than Brady, right?
Yo,
better than Tom Brady?
Sure. Yeah. She would have...
missile.
Super Bowl champion. Yeah. 100%.
Oh, man.
So how do you... So with front of the house... what's the conversation like when you see somebody who's, you know, call it slacking?
So,
sorry.
I mean, as Jeffrey said, there's definitely SOPs for everything. You know what I mean? We have the procedure, and we have it in writing, and they've all been, you know, previously briefed on this knowledge. So it's not anything new when we tell you again. It's just how many times we tell you is, you know, the real judge of the severity of the situation, I would like to say.
Do you guys do lineup here?
Yes, pre-shift every day.
So when you do that, do you... Sorry,
let me, I'll translate
on that one. So what are you looking for with the servers, and especially the front of the house?
So when we do pre-shift, it's menu updates, covers for the evening, any special people that we might have, dietary restrictions, and then we go into restaurant notes. Restaurant notes... That's part of it sometimes. You know what I mean? For instance, like if somebody left their station a mess last night, we had to get somebody else to clean it up. We will review, you know, closing duties with the servers so that everybody is also on the same page while also directly speaking to that individual. You know what I mean? Like in the moment, you don't want to like kind of berate somebody and put them down. You know what I mean? You kind of want to bring everybody's attention to the task. However, you still want that person to know that it was them.
So is that something like where, you know, you have your team and you're holding your meeting and you're like, all right, look, table six and station seven or whatever. Yeah, that was a mess. You know, there was a gunk all over the table. Nothing got washed down. Like, you know, you didn't fill up your...
A little bit more generalized, you know what I mean? A little bit more generalized in the meeting itself, you know what I mean? But for the step-aside meeting, it's exactly the details of what happened last night. You know what I mean?
When you're doing the lineup, though, are you looking at uniform, how the presentation is of that individual? So you're looking at fingernails. By the way, you're not allowed to wear makeup.
No makeup, no
perfume, cologne.
No nail polish.
No polish.
No nails that pass your fingertips.
No watch on the wrist. Those are all laws.
It's a law, but...
And the reason why you might look at me crazy, the makeup and the fingernails... Mm-hmm. Is it can become a food, not a foodborne, but it can get into the food contaminant.
Yeah, but I do look at you like you're crazy.
Well, it had nothing to do with you. That's the point.
It had nothing to do with the commentary.
You know, I'm going back to the whole watch situation. This is something that's I would like to say a very touchy topic with chefs. You know what I mean? Like if you see I mean, I wear a watch for the most part. If I'm like a really busy day, I won't wear a watch. I'll just have my phone on expo, and I'll just, you know, sanitize it before service so I can keep a track of time. I need something that keeps a track of time around me. A lot of chefs wear watches, and it's okay if you kind of wear it a little bit higher and you're able to wash your wrists and there's nothing contaminating
it,
you know what I mean? But it's so hard to make sure that doesn't happen. You know what I mean? So it's good practice not to wear it, but it's also time is essential for a kitchen. So yeah, it's a catch 22 there.
Correct. Well, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, what I was mentioning to Chef Kevin earlier when I was going over our show prep in terms of, you know, what the topic was and, you know, part of the monologue and all, there's no better place than Slate Restaurant to have a conversation about, you know, restaurant cleanliness. Open kitchen, the place is beautiful, and it still looks beautiful. Like, it, you know, is how many years?
Six years.
Yeah, I mean, it still looks like it. You know,
brand new.
It just looks like it came out of the
Look to your left and look at that copper oven and look how clean the copper is.
Yeah.
That's bar friendly right there. That is bar friendly.
And
tons of bar friendly.
So it's very important for me. You know, restaurant cleanliness is very, very important for me. Like when I took this position, well, not when I first got my job here, you know, I got hired as a sous chef originally. But when I first took a sous chef position here, there was a lot of things that were out of place. And I cleaned for the first 2 days while I was here. I didn't work at all. I didn't cook anything here. I said, I'm going to clean and I'm going to make it perfect. And then when it's perfect, we're going to go from there, because I was very much determined to be here, very much determined to elevate this kitchen. However, it just wasn't clean enough for me, you know? And first of all, the main goal of cooking is not to kill anybody. You know what I mean? Like, don't kill anybody.
Here.
Exactly. But we have a very big responsibility to feed people. You know what I mean? You're actually ingesting the food. You're putting something that I have prepared for you inside of your body. And that's huge. You know, the level of responsibility is, you know, astronomical. So we have to make sure that we are handling everything on a bacterial level, I would like to say. You know what I mean? in food service, we only have two constants, which is time and temperature. You know what I mean? That's our only two constants that we have to play with. And then through that, we do everything else. So we need to exist outside of the temperature danger zone as much as possible. And that's very difficult, you know, especially when you have people who don't quite care as much, you know. And this is why, going back to us saying, it starts with the little things like the towels. You know, every little detail needs to be thought about so you can breed a culture of caring for what we do here. You know, if an order comes in now and it's a case of cream and it's just sitting outside the fridge, somebody needs to put that away ASAP. You know what I mean? Because that creates things called temperature inconsistencies, and that shortens your shelf life, you know. Or if it's out too long, then it could essentially start growing bacteria, and then it could make your stomach hurt or other, you know, ill things for you. And that's not what we try to, you know, achieve. So it's very difficult maintaining, you know, not just cleanliness, but standards as well.
Are we still using the pink degreaser?
No.
No, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no.
You know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean,
yeah.
Right?
But, yeah.
No, they have degreasers now that are not, you don't have to use a glove.
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Mm-hmm. So, because I'm going to look over at John, he's working the board for us today. If you remember the place that we worked at 1,000 years ago with Irene, the GM, and you know, we had these brick. It's a really nice restaurant, and it was actually a really great place. But there was this white brick, okay, and you know, over time it starts to get grimy, whatever. Yeah. So, the GM, nice lady, she's like, look. Get the degreaser, get the pink stuff, and just beat the crap out of that wall. Make it happen. You know, can you do it?
Right.
I'm like, oh, God. Because I knew that I was going to have scabs, my skin falling off.
Yep.
Yeah, all sorts of horrible things going to happen to my body after that. And I was just always thinking, back then, I would think, how is this illegal? Like, I don't even know how we're using this product.
I have a friend of mine that lost his vision in one of his eyes because of the spray.
I don't doubt that, not for a second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's some nasty chemicals out there that we use.
So at a restaurant that I used to work at, we used to degrease the hoods in-house every Sunday. And we used to use, it was like an oven degreaser of some sort. I can't remember what it was, but it was great. You know, it was great. We did it all the time. I got to the point where I would get plastic wrap my whole hand, like all the way up, gloves, goggles, the whole nine. And then I'd go in and do it. But even then, you'd still get some sort of residue.
Is there a picture floating around?
Nope, there is no picture. No.
Yeah,
I hope not.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. To be honest with you,
I mean, I can imagine not. With the goggles and the wrap. And dude, you must. That was
so.
You were getting all the servers, all the waitresses, man. Like you were getting everybody. That was
MacGyver. Like, that's what we
that's
do.
That's the MacGyver thing.
And I think one of the things that Chef mentioned about being so consistent with being so clean. Is there's a misconception out there from the audience that when they get sick, they're like, I just ate at whatever restaurant, I'm sick. And you have to sit there and go, and you have to educate them somewhat. It's a 4-hour incubation period.
Yeah.
And it's not food poisoning.
Well, some of them is even longer than some.
Well,
the
minimum is 4 hours. Most can go up to 12 because it has to go through the stomach and then go in the intestinal tract.
Right.
And we're not doctors, but we're actually taught this when we go to ServSafe, which is what we get marked on.
I mean, you do wear the gloves.
Well, yes, we do. I only play one on TV.
Right.
God, I want to say something. I can't.
Don't.
I'm not. But here's the thing. Foodborne illness is the actual cause of the illness you're getting from the bacteria Chef was mentioning. Food poisoning is like a chemical was involved in the food, whether it be ammonia, whether it be bleach. That's almost instantaneous. Mm-hmm. So by the time a lot of folks sit there and go, well, I just ate at this restaurant. I got sick at lunch. Well, no, it's from your breakfast or it could be the night before. And that's the biggest thing when you get a field of call from that. Do you guys do line checks and temperature checks?
Yes.
That's beautiful. And yes. If anybody's out there that's not doing that now, I highly suggest doing that because it's another
recorded, layer of, right? Like to be written down.
Yes.
Right? And log or whatever.
And the first thing here in South Florida or in Florida, the health inspector asks, where's your line checks and where's your temp logs? And the reason why they're doing that is because they're setting up, because here's the thing. Do you know what an outbreak is caused? Is calculated by the state of Florida? Two people get sick. It's an outbreak.
Wow.
Two.
Wow. 200?
Two.
2,000.
One, two.
That's it. Okay, just two.
Just like two. Wow. Dos, Steim, whatever number. Okay.
Like, if it's all of us, we're screwed.
Yeah. We're in big trouble.
No. I mean, that's what it takes, and that's why it's such a high priority. It should be a high priority.
It is a high priority.
I actually, when I first was going through Johnson & Wales way back when, my dad
had very old.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. My dad had a client that had a golf place over out west in Davie, and I'm not mentioning it. I walked in at 5:30 in the morning to do breakfast, and they had the huge stock pot, like 80 quart.
Jeez.
It was still warm. And the guy goes, oh, we're going to drain that out now. And I'm like, no, we're not. He's like, yeah, we are. I'm no. I think about 2 hours later, I left. They had so many, literally so many infractions that they literally could kill somebody. I'm like, I'm out. And I left. It was the only time I walked out of a restaurant.
Wow.
That because of foodborne illness.
It's serious, man. If you're passionate about what you're doing, you take pride in what you're doing and you're trying to create, it's hard for you, you know what I mean, to walk into an establishment.
If you walk
like
into a kitchen like that, that's because not only did the chef, you know, give up and walk away, the owner, the ownership team, like everybody just put their hands up in the air at some point and said, screw this, we're done. We don't care anymore.
Yeah. Honestly, that has to be it because it's your name on it. I mean, if you're, and that's the integrity you have as a chef, then get out of the business.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, there's a lot of, okay. So coming from a salesperson's perspective, when you walk into a restaurant or a hotel, whatever it is, and you could see the demeanor of the chef, you see how they carry themselves. And a lot of these, you know, men and women alike, chefs, they just look like they were dragged behind a car, you know, for the last 15 years. And it shows. And it shows in the way the shoulders are slumped. There's no, you know, there isn't any energy in the eyes. And you know that person is really just going to ask you about price and nothing else because nothing else matters and they don't care about really anything. And now the good news is you don't really see that so often, but it is out there.
Oh, yeah.
And it translates into how clean the line is, how clean your bathroom is. It trickles down into all of that.
I think if a guest walks into the restaurant and they're whatever restaurant they're going to and they see that chef, line cook, disheveled with the tank top and the cigarette, which we don't do anymore. Excuse me, we don't do that anymore. But, I mean, you're stained jacket and they're all disheveled. Don't go. Because obviously they don't care enough about their uniform, about the cleanliness of themselves. What's the cleanliness of the restaurant going to be?
I mean, how many times are you going to wear the same chef's coat that looks like that? Because we've all seen it. I mean, at the end of the day, we've all had to hire people that look like that and dress like that. You know,
dude, I've actually watched a jacket walk out. That's how bad it smelled.
Sure,
it was like, I'm out. I smell myself and left.
Yes,
because that person was wearing it that long.
Right.
Ugh.
Like, I mean, listen, we've all been in the situations, you know, where. You go out, you work late at night, you go out, and you show up to work in your same clothes. Well, we've all done that, but that's our generation. Correct. And that's not what I'm even talking about. Like, you could see some of these, the attire is just unclean.
And, you know, when you
walk
get there,
away,
you,
people,
you
walk
have to have
away.
Those uncomfortable conversations.
Yeah.
You know, like,
how many of those have you had in your lifetime?
Too many.
Yep.
Too many. The word is going to be too many. You know, it could have been an outbreak. You know what I mean? But it's too many. Where it's just like, hey, whatever you were doing before this, you know, maybe you should. Yeah, I try to pull them aside. You know, I don't want to, as I said, berate people in front of everybody because then they feel embarrassed, especially something like body odor.
Chef, let's break off of ugliness and let's get back. Let's talk sexy food for a minute. You have anything new coming out?
So we actually just released a brand new menu. Maybe 3 weeks ago now, it's going really well. We're really just trying to elevate the level of this restaurant, the type of food that we're doing here.
What's your favorite new dish?
My favorite new dish.
Tell me it's slow. No, I'm kidding. Just, you know, what's your favorite new dish?
My favorite new dish, my favorite new appetizer is somewhere between our popovers and our foie gras toast.
He had me at foie gras toast.
Foie gras, rhubarb, pickled celery, brioche.
I love rhubarb. You know, rhubarb is like an unsung sort of a, you know, ingredient.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, it, I mean, it, it, well, the truth is it's hard to get. You don't always, you can't always get it.
No.
But if it's on a menu somewhere and I see it, I'm ordering whatever that is.
And you see, that's the thing, because I've used it a couple of times in a couple of different menus, and it's always been the biggest struggle to have on a menu.
Yeah.
So when we were approaching this menu and I wanted to use it, it had to be a preserve. It had to be something that I can get the whole case, you know, make it into something, have it, you know, sit with all, you know, my airtight cooler in my, sorry, my airtight bags and just be fine, you know, not worry about anything. It's enough sugar there. And then we have another dessert that we're using the syrup from that for, you know, so we have a sorbet duo that we're using the syrup for.
I can completely appreciate everything you just said, because what you're, what you've essentially done, you've covered a lot of bases. A, you have product on hand, so you can create your dishes and you can put out, you know, awesome, awesome plates for your guests. And, but the next part of that is you took the pressure off of your, you know, the distributor in which you, you get that product from, right? Because you were planning out in advance.
Yeah.
And man, I wish, I just wish, culinary people, if your order, whoever is ordering the product in your establishment, please order ahead. Give your distributors a break. Oh my gosh.
So on the flip side, thank you for that. On the flip side of that, I have a very tentative green on the menu right now. We have a seasonal salad that's, it's a very different approach to the salad, a salad concept. I mean, we put the dressing on the plate and then we use very small greens and we just let them fall on top essentially. And then we put more stuff on top. So when you eat the salad, you kind of scrape it all together and then it's dressed. However, it's a baby Mizuna, you know, it comes on Mizuna. These little...
yeah, good luck with that. And they travel terribly, that's why.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
So delicate.
I can't order too much of it. They never have it. It always gets shorted.
Hold on,
and then,
hold on. For those of you listening out there, I'm going to give you the audio of how delicate this product is. Okay, I'm going to say the name with the level of delicateness. Mizuna. That is how delicate this stuff is. It travels so bad.
Yeah.
And the shelf life is like 35 seconds. Like, oh, hey, look, it's in a box. Oh, it's bad. Whoa, what happened? You know, it's
zucchini flowers, right? Not properly handled. Zucchini flowers are the same way. Yeah. Apple blossoms, zucchini blossoms.
I think zucchini flowers hold up a little better than
Mizuna. Yeah. God bless you there. Trying to do that.
And,
but what I love about what you said about rhubarb is that you're actually morphing it into fermentation. I think that's where a lot of chefs... I think people down in Florida, I think we need to get back into doing some canning, a little fermentation.
Yeah.
A little pickling, preserves.
So I'm
that's sexy.
I'm going to pop that
great for up here.
Some big ones.
Yeah.
I like that.
That would be like gallon mason jars. Sorry, we're off topic.
We'd have to get the little burp lids and everything.
Yeah, man. That's just sexy.
No, I'm going to take this. I'm going to pop a clutch here real quick.
Pop a clutch,
yeah.
We're going for everything.
We're going to drifting next after this.
Yeah, Tokyo Drifter. No, so what I'm talking about is, so Chef Kevin Ho is a walk and talk restaurant recipe chef, which we will be starting to film season two with you coming up as soon as you get a break. You know, obviously we're getting into season whatever, but coming up, that's happening.
Yeah.
In fact, today... Mr. John Hernandez from Ibis Images will be doing a photo shoot portrait.
Ooh.
Yeah, of you, chef, for the website, for restaurant recipes, for the next season, the whole nine yards. With that said, what we should probably do, I'm going to bring it back to the canning and stuff. We should do like a workshop, man. Like, how do people do that? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
How cool would that be?
I'm all in for this. I want.
Are you playing with Koji yet or no?
No.
Yeah, I'm starting to dive into Koji.
I'm going to be 100% honest with you. Working in Florida is difficult because of humidity.
Oh,
and
I know.
Temperature consistency, especially when fermenting. That's why a lot of the things that we ferment here are very unique to this environment, just because of the temperature and time of year. Like, we have some...
Did you say it's humid here in Florida? What's that? It's not humid here at all.
Maybe not in here right now, but like... This is a restaurant. Oh, yeah. This is a real restaurant. Things happen. You know what I mean? For instance, like our AC went out
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Or the hood. If you don't have AC on the return air, you got that 90-something% humidity coming in.
Straight in.
Yeah.
And so especially if we're like up here where the hot air rises to, if we're really busy on the grill and the hood's not pulling well, it's going to come back into the restaurant.
For those of you out there listening who do not live in Florida or have not experienced the summer here in this state, what we're talking about it's emergency, you know, it's level, you know, orange or red or whatever. Yep. It's a big deal.
100% plus humidity.
Oh my gosh.
It's
that's
ridiculous.
I don't know if I would stay. I'm sorry. I'd be like, look, chef, peace. I'm out of here.
So for instance, like when we're writing menus in the winter for pastry, it's completely different from when we're writing menus in the summer, you know? And like you guys saw me sitting down today, I'm writing a 6-course tasting menu for an Italian wine that we're doing. And then we're going to be doing another 6-course dinner with Patron next year. We're doing a lot of these dinners with people.
So when you were, I was watching you as you were sitting, it looked like you were doing journal entries. Like, I don't know, you were in a really happy place. Like you enjoy that.
He was writing his diary.
Yes.
It's your diary. Like.
Their diary. Yeah. I love this. But that's exactly what it is. I have to.
By the way, it was a Hello Kitty diary with a little lock and key and everything. It's cool.
I thought it was Grogu on the outside.
It's a dollar store diary, guys.
Come it's on. A dollar. All right. Okay.
All right, but like I have to art, you know, I have to put it down on paper and I have to look at it and then see, okay, this is where I want to go. This is what we want to do. This is how it needs to feel. It needs to have some movement. It needs to have, it has to
jive.
Yes. You have to feel it when it gets put in front of you. You know what I mean? It's, I don't know how to explain this without a plate of food. You know what I mean? It's that wow feeling that you kind of get inside your stomach.
So, look, bring a plate of food out. You know, what are we talking about?
I think the reason why you're so happy about it is when you're using your creativity and you are creative, it gets the juices flowing so that you're actually a little bit happy. You know, you're in that happy place. Oh, that would be good. And then you're looking in the flavor profiles in your mind. Well, that will pair really well. That will pair. So you're getting really amped up on it. And I think that's one of the things that really gets you kind of juiced.
Exactly. You know, there's nothing better than, you know, coming here and then cooking. You know, it's really and truly a blessing to be able to open this door every day, you know, and walk into this beautiful space because a lot of people don't see it the way I see it. Like, you guys got to witness it today. It's really beautiful when you just come in and everything's still off.
Yes.
You know, it's
favorite
quiet
time in the
kitchen. And it's dark and it's really cool.
I used to love to open. Yes. I loved to open the restaurant.
Because you got out early, hopefully, if everyone showed up.
Well, first of all,
not here.
So the truth is, even if I was closing, I was better than the, you know, 1980s San Francisco 49ers in trades, okay? If I was closing and I make my money, I would be out of there. I would, you know, duke somebody a few bucks. I'm out. I'm enjoying the rest of the night.
Yeah. Right.
I was notorious for that. But I did what I had to do, made my money, did my thing, I'm out.
That's good.
But when you open and you get that sense of this is quiet, it's like the calm before the storm. Everything is calm. There's not a ripple in the tide pool here. And it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
The noise, like if there's if you know something is on that, you know, supposed to be, and you have that hum.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you come in and you pop on the coffee machine.
Yeah.
Right? All of a sudden that's happening. And if you're lucky and you can actually make your first freaking cup of coffee without anybody actually being in that restaurant. Dude, that's the best feeling that you can ever have. I think moms out there probably know this feeling. Like, you know, if they wake up before everybody else.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
Or single dads.
Or single dads. Yeah. I mean, I was getting there.
Yeah.
I was getting there. I would never leave out my peeps. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, man, that's really awesome. And we did get to experience that. And by the way, so here at Slate Restaurant in Orlando, you know, you've got the what is that, propane, right?
Propane.
So when you walk in, the lights are on with the fire, like the propane flame.
Yeah.
So the place is dark except for like, you know,
the bar. One side of the bar.
I don't know.
One side.
Probably about 10 different
chandeliers
with the propane flame. So it's extra freaking cool in this place.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, I don't know if I mentioned it. I think I did. Gorgeous restaurant.
Yeah.
Food quality. Like, I'm not, listen, my face is literally out there. Okay. I am not going to tell you people to go to an establishment that isn't good.
Exactly.
And that's a guarantee. Now, with that said, what do they call them? Karens and stuff like that. Look, you're going to have an issue. Something's going to happen. It's a business. You have to rely on people, and you have to rely on distributors and products and the weather and all sorts of stuff. So you may have not the best experience one time. You make sure if that happens, you go back and you try it again. And you make sure you let the GM or the chef know, or let somebody know.
Please, let somebody know. Yeah. So we can fix your experience.
Yeah, don't leave and then complain about it.
Yeah.
You know, call somebody over. Ask for the MOD, manager on duty.
Yeah.
Have them come over. Have that conversation. Chef, by the way, you said something earlier about those finite details about folding the towels.
Yeah.
During the World Cup, they were interviewing one of the coaches. I think it might have been England. Huh. And he goes, our players stay together, they do this, and the reason why we do this is because you might seem silly to get into where they're going. But these finite details make us a better team because we all are in the same thing. So I wanted to point out that you have England, who's now going to the quarterfinals, that are doing this. And if pro teams are doing this, then you're on trend doing that with your team.
Yeah.
And I watched one of your cooks come in and, you know, shake the hand and what's going on. You went over, did your little brief with him, and he came over. And it's amazing. That's what needs to happen.
Yeah, and he's a stud too, by the way.
Yeah, he's
that's my sous chef Gustavo. He's awesome. He really takes up the responsibility when I'm not here. You know what I mean? And that's something that I needed. There was a time where I had another sous chef prior, and we had some, I would like to say,
opportunities.
No, not necessarily. Our visions kind of clashed on certain things. You know what I mean? And he had left and I kind of brought him back, and then my team wasn't happy. So we parted ways. However, I made that decision to just do this all by myself. You know what I mean? And it's a decision of, I have to make sure or ensure the quality first. You know what I mean? I can't just let somebody dilute the brand. You know what I mean? We have a level of expectation from our customers, you know, of who we are. And I need to make sure that's upheld at all costs,
right?
You know, because that's why I'm chef. If something goes sideways, I have to make sure it's fixed, you know? And when I took on that responsibility, it was a lot on me and my family and, you know, everybody else around me, but it was the right move to get the restaurant into this position. And then we grew organically, you know.
Did you bring him from the outside, or you mentored him up to that level?
Yes. I brought him from the outside. He was a cook here. And then, you know, through time, I let him have a little bit more responsibility and a little bit more responsibility until I felt that he was ready to actually help me. You know what I mean?
He's proving ground.
Exactly. Right. And working with me is never, it's just this today or it's just that today. Every day is a brand new day, you know? So it's very challenging at all points.
Well, I can tell you what. So first of all, what we should have is a culinary combine like they do at college, and you're picking your, you know, who your studs are, right? I think we should be doing that. I don't know, I'm just floating it out there. With that said, Chef Kevin, you are a badass, right? I love this restaurant, and I love what you're doing. I can't wait to see what we're going to be doing next on season 2 of Restaurant Recipes with Chef Kevin Ho.
It's going to be epic.
Foie gras is going to be on that menu. I'll be there.
Oh, yes.
Even if it's not there, you're getting foie gras.
it's happening. It's going to... How do you pronounce it? Say it the right way.
Foie gras.
Foie gras. I love
foie gras.
It.
We're going to have foie gras and caviar. It's going to be phenomenal.
The French people are going to love us.
They already love
us.
They already love us.
I can't wait.
They already love us.
All right, maybe we'll get a little tasty taste today or something like that. As always, thank you very much, Veronica, John. We're missing Willie today.
Love you, Willie.
Yeah, Chef well Jeffrey, soon, buddy. I love you. Man, brother, I'll catch you later.
Awesome.
Out.
Awesome.
As we always. Are out. Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.